The Open Door of Emptiness. Chapter 2. Love and Impermanence. Part 5. Raw, Fresh and Naked. Dzogchen speaks about the mind and says it is primordially pure. Pure means untouched by anything else. Our clothes get dirty through contact with the world, with our sweat, and so on. But the mind is alone. This doesn't mean it is cut off or isolated. It is just alone. Like in the side mirrors of a car, reflection after reflection arises. And in each moment, the mirror is fresh and able to show a new reflection. It doesn't become stained or tired. This is primordial purity. In our lives, many things happen, and we tend to accumulate certain patterns of experiences and tendencies. But a mirror is not like that. Appearances continuously and instantly arise, and they continuously and instantly pass. These appearances are non-cumulative. The mirror doesn't grasp or hang on to or build up anything. In the same way, the mind has openness. Not a dull openness, but an openness which is present and available. The mind is described as being raw, fresh, and naked. Raw means not cooked. Nothing has been done to it. It hasn't been processed in any way. It is fresh, completely like the first moment in every moment. It is naked, because it is not covered in any way. When you think of the mirror, the reflection arises in the mirror, but the mirror is still naked. The reflection is not something hidden in the mirror. There is no mirror essence behind the reflection. When we take up these five questions, looking for the mind, what we find is that the mind is not something somewhere. I live in my skin bag. Inside the skin bag is my heart and lungs and so on. This is the inner content whose function maintains the integrity of the skin bag. When people meet and have some contact, they are showing on the level of the skin. But that is because there is something inside the skin bag maintaining and displaying the vitality and potential for connecting. Despite looking again and again, we will find nothing behind the mind, and also that the mind is not behind anything. The reflection is the mirror. There is not more to the mirror than the reflection. However, it's not really correct to say that the reflection is the mirror, because the moment of the reflection doesn't define the potential of the mirror. At every moment in your life, experiences are arising and passing. They arise and pass because the mind itself is not sticky. Nevertheless, if you think about your life, and you think about all that has happened since you woke up this morning, there is a selectivity in that memory. Some things stand out. Others have already passed into oblivion. So your sense of self develops a contouring, like the peaks and valleys in the mountains. When you remember an incident, you can tell that to someone else, and it becomes elaborated into a story. But what was happening was not a story. It was exactly this, just this, and then gone. Your story is a representation. You are talking about something. You are thinking about something. It is not raw, naked, and fresh. It is prepared, elaborated, edited, and presented. The ego self is dependent on certain aspects of the world in order to function. They are necessary for the continuity of me in my life. If I lose my passport, it will be difficult at the airport. If I want to travel, I need to show people that I am who I say I am. A passport or an identity card is a representation. If we don't have this representation, we won't be allowed to present ourselves. This gives you the flavor of samsara. We don't trust presentation, we trust representation. All at onceness. Primordial purity means that, moment by moment, the mind is open. If a tragedy happens, you feel terrible. If events turn your life upside down, these are patterns of movements of energy. You are still there. If you start to go blind, you are still there. If you have a leg amputated, you are still there. You are there as a presence. Your sense of self is altered. You are aware, and this awareness is the showing of the altered sense of self. When you feel angry or dispirited, frustrated at this change in your sense of self, the patterning of the content of experience is so intoxicating that you become absorbed in it and identify with it in such a way that it becomes who you are. What is lost is the awareness, the revealer of the experience. The mind, your mind, is what you are, moment by moment. Forgetfulness of how the mind is open, empty, and pure from the very beginning leads to non-relaxation, because your attention gets focused on patterns of movement, patterns of emergence, and you try to sort it out. Which bit of this is me? Which bit of this is not me? We go close to experiences. We identify. We merge in them. Then something happens, and we withdraw. But if we can stay with the openness of awareness, what we experience is all at onceness. We are sitting here together in this room, and whatever is happening all at once. We stand up and we go out the door, turn right, pass through into another room, turn to the right, climb the stairs, and so on. You can know about that. Tell yourself a story about that. But if you just stay open, you'll see that what I call myself and what I call my environment arise together. All our experiences all at once. It's not like a painting that is built up stroke by stroke, adding, rubbing out, building up an image. If you turn your head one way, and then you turn your head the other way, everything instantly is there, and you with it. This is instant presence, or Hlundru, coming all at once, uncompounded. A compound is a gathering together of different things and putting them in particular patterns and packages. If you look around from inside your bone box, You see one thing and then another thing. One person and then another person. In this looking, identifying and naming, you're very busy. You're engaged in composition. This selective activity leads to liking and not liking. We want to look more at what we like and less at what we don't like, because our attention is the medium for value in the world. As we attend to something, it shines for us. The chi, or prana, or life energy, flows out with our sense organs, and when we like something, it starts to shine for us. If we don't like it, it doesn't shine so much. So then, our world is experienced as full of some important things and many unimportant things. This simplifies our experience as an individual ego self because, if everything were interesting, how could I make choices? It's through the ceaseless process of making choices that I continuously shape and reshape my ego self. What arises within what I take to be me, sensations, thoughts, memories, and so on, is unpredictable. What I will experience through my sense organs, as being outside myself, is also unpredictable. So the process of selectivity, which is going on moment by moment, is in a shifting field of interaction of great complexity. It's a lot of work, and this is what is called karma. Karma means activity. You are doing something. You are saying, this person is interesting. This other person is not so interesting. I want to spend time with the interesting person. I don't want to spend time with the not so interesting person. But maybe the interesting person doesn't want to spend time with you, and the not so interesting person really does want to spend time with you. Now there is some confusion inside. We know this. This is our life. This is the life of the ego self. Observing this ceaseless process of selectivity, we just relax, since we realize that this is movement inside a field that is already here. All at onceness comes before selectivity. You get it all without effort, but you don't know what to do with all of it because you are someone. And someones want something. They don't know what to do with everything. In order to maintain your someoneness, you need to work out what sort of something are you? And what sort of something am I? Are you my kind of something? This is how the ego manifests within the field of clarity. There are not two factors, like God and the devil, someone making the good things and someone else making the bad things. It is the ignoring of the givenness of everything and the fact that we are always already part of this everything that leads us to the limiting particularization of our sense of self. So the key point of the meditation is to give us a chance to relax our relentless selective investment and avoidance. In your embodiment, you are organized for selectivity. You are selecting from the field, and the field is the showing or the shining force of emptiness. Everything in the field is empty, that is to say, it is devoid of inherent existence. So when we make selections, we are selecting patterns of energy. If you are offered a banana or an orange, you can think of them as two different things. You can say both belong to the family we call fruit. But they have different shapes and colours. We can eat the skin of the apple, but we cannot eat the skin of the banana. The particularity of shape, colour, smell, and so on says that one is an apple and another is a banana. But how do I know it's a banana? It gives me light. It's yellow. It's curved. It has a tough bit at one end where it was attached to the banana tree. If I stay with the subjectivity of that, the banana reveals itself to me through colour and shape. I can see that banana is a name that I apply to that colour and shape. By calling it banana, I pull it into the field of my interpretation and knowledge. Imagine you were flying over a hot country and the plane crashed and landed in a jungle. You're the only survivor. Wandering in the jungle, feeling hungry, but not familiar with any of the plants. There could be many delicious edible fruits there, but then again, they might be poisonous. If they're poisonous, you might die. They might even taste delicious, yet be poisonous. So now, because you don't know, you are both hungry and anxious. This is the human condition. Our experience tends to be mediated through knowledge, with the thinking that knowledge keeps us safe. Traditionally, it is in the field of art that people open up to the possibility of not knowing. To get a sense of this, you can start with a piece of paper or canvas, and without thought, just make a mark, and then see how the mark calls for another colour and shape. You don't have to know. You can trust the emergence. Or you might be a more anxious kind of person that has to know in advance what you are trying to paint. I want to paint something. And what am I going to paint with? Colours. I'm going to paint a banana. If you make a painting of a banana, as soon as people see the banana, most will stop looking at the painting. Lots of research has been done on tracking the movement of the eye with relation to paintings. If you don't know about painting, you tend to have a recognition and then stop looking. Oh yes, that's a Matisse. What's next? If you are used to painting, your eyes go around, following the strokes and the intensities, the contrasts and so on. You can see that this is an image of a banana, but that's not the end of the story. You're interested in how this banana is emerging out of colours. This is like meditation. We are interested in how thoughts and feelings emerge. How are these patterns painted on the canvas of the mind? Because it is the how that permits the reification. So when you look at the painting and you say, oh, this is a banana, you arrive at a conclusion, and that's the end of it. If you're more curious about the brush strokes, the knowledge of what is represented in the shape is not the end. The full stop after it's a banana becomes instead a comma. We are seeing how the play of yellow and green has allowed the particular sense of the banana's colour to arise. Conclusions are good for the ego. The ego likes to know what is what. Now I know what's going on. However, what's going on has already gone. Because life is dynamic and ever-changing. As soon as you get hold of something, it has already dissolved into the next moment, and the next moment, and the next moment. The capacity to receive the unfolding revelation of how life is, moment by moment, which is ever fresh and shiny, gets toned down, becomes muted by the anxious requirement to have definitive knowledge. Instead of attending to how, we focus on what. Oh, it's a banana. End of story. Mind is open, displaying itself as a clarity of this field, which is changing as it reveals different patternings. Within this, what I take to be myself is a participation. I am energy, participating in the field of energy. Sound, light, smell, taste, movement, it's all dynamic. It's a flow phenomenon. We are rippling in the river of life. We are water within water. It's only our interpretive delusion which makes us feel that we are apart. So, these are the three aspects of how we are, according to Dzogchen. According to Dzogchen, our mind itself is open and empty. This reveals the immediacy of all at onceness. And within this, as part of it, we participate. Within the field of clarity, in the immediacy of all the phenomena arising at once, we find ourselves participating as movement. This is a journey without beginning or end. This turns into this, turns into this, turns into this. When you stay with the this, you have the freshness. But if you try to catch this and make it into an entity to think about, then you step onto the path of comparing this with that. Oh yes, this banana is from Brazil. It tastes different from the banana from El Salvador. When you're eating a banana, what is important is the texture, the color, the smell. Is it from Brazil or El Salvador? Who cares? It is good, and that simply means it is good for me at this moment. In India, there are many varieties of banana, and the very smallest ones, the sweetest, are often mashed up for babies. As we get older, our tastes often change, and we don't need sweet tastes so much. So, how the banana is, for me, in this moment, in this context, is like this. How I am, in this moment, in this context, is like this. Can I say what I will be like tomorrow? Only if I speak about myself as an idea. Then I have an existential choice. To be like this or to be like that. We operate in the world by telling other people what we're like. When we tell someone about ourselves, we are creating or helping to develop a likeness of ourselves in their mind. There is an image of us developing in their mind which has been fed by the stories we tell them about ourselves. I tell you about myself so you can think about me. This is the royal road to desolation and loneliness. Darling, I've been thinking about you all day. What should darling do with these thoughts? A thought is not a kiss. If you give me a kiss, I get something. You can think about me for 100 years, but that's you. It's not me. That is what is meant by representation. It's image building. And it's where our mind becomes cleverly deceitful. Because as my image of you becomes ever more multi-textured and multi-dimensional, the closer I feel I am getting to you, yet I am not. When a person is packaged into a story, the concrete moments of their life, which are inexpressible, are repackaged as something abstract, which is expressible. I am talking with you about Dzogchen. Dzogchen can't be talked about. Nevertheless, I do it. And I'm very glad you give me the opportunity to come here and talk. We have to hear the talking in a very gentle way, since words are not going to help us find out the truth. The function of the words is to soften us up like a massage so that we can become more pliable and allow more possibilities to emerge. Talking about ourselves is not showing ourselves. Of course, we don't show ourselves like an actor on the stage. We show ourselves without showing. We just are. And other people see. Their seeing will depend on whether or not they can receive. This takes us back to the title of this teaching, Love and Impermanence. If love or closeness or intimacy is based on attachment, the attachment is always to the idea of the person. The person, as disclosure, as the unveiling of oneself moment by moment, is like water running through our fingers. We have the sensation that there is something going on. Color, shape, sound, movement, self-arising and self-vanishing, self-liberating moment by moment. It's like being at the sea and watching the waves going up and down, up and down. We receive it, but what can we say about it? When I watch the waves and the sparkling light, I feel softened inside. My thinking subsides, and I'm just with the emerging experience. I can't say anything about it. What am I doing? I am looking at the sea. Was I looking at the sea? I was being with the sea. What was occurring was not a something. It was presence before the thingness processing began. Thingness processing, reification, construction, comes after the immediacy of the all-at-onceness. The practice of meditation helps us to be here with the immediacy of the all-at-onceness. As soon as you're with another person, you are already into self and other. Being present with the field is also to be present with movement, endlessly shimmering within the field. This is our authentic mind, a co-presence with nothing to take away and nothing to gain. Some people think that psychotherapy is about developing insight, about seeing the structure of what is going on, and then perhaps it may be helpful to share our understanding of the structure. It's one way of perceiving. But when we're simply present together, this presence itself releases many of the structural tensions, because tension, anxiety, and defences cut us off from being in immediate connectivity. We open to the field without entering into judgment about what is good and what is bad. In conversation, our judgment is often expressed as saying that something is important and something else is unimportant. Sigmund Freud understood this very clearly. Don't commit yourself to a pathway of interpretation. An interpretation should be given when it is no longer necessary, when the patient is themselves at the point of making it. If you offer interpretations prematurely, it is like hanging a thread in a copper sulfate solution. After some time, crystals start growing around the thread. This is to say that the patient will crystallize themselves according to the interpretation offered by the therapist. When we're longing for love, we seek to make ourselves lovable. We seek to become the one who the other wants. But if I become the one that the other wants, who will the other become? Who will I become? I don't know what the other wants. And generally speaking, the other doesn't know what they want either. So this attempt is very foolish. Nevertheless, people do spend a lot of time thinking how they should be in order to make a relationship work. Being in play. Workability depends on an energy of co-emergence. It is something in the air and cannot be forced. When you come towards some people, you shake hands. With others, you share a little hug. With others, a great big hug. Some people just smile. There are many permutations of how we connect. It's not a ritual. You just find yourself in different energies. We are participating within the field of experience as it is in this moment. It's not about knowing. It's about having a feeling tone. You may have hugged someone yesterday, but today be more distant. Why? You will never know. You can't say. It is just how it is. Because this is the formation of energy prior to conceptualization. And does it mean we like the person less? That is the concept. If we stay with the concept, we will be in a labyrinth of thought and memories, wandering in the wilderness. It is just this, and it does not predict how the next moment will be. This is a different way of living, raw, naked, and fresh. Make yourself available. When you are available, you receive the emergent sensation of the other. You can go back, or you can go forward. To be available doesn't mean to be a slave. You're not at the mercy of the other. But it does require that you receive the howness of the other person through your senses, not the whatness. Whatness is conceptual, already packaged, whereas the how is shifting and changing, which needs you need to be ready to shift and change. It means you should be light, able to move, unburdened by expectation, unnarrowed by judgment. You are in play, and that can invite the other to be in play. If they don't want to play, fine. You go away, because there's always the next moment. But I can't let it drop. She or he is the only person who can make me happy. That is an idea. Not only an idea, but a neurotic idea. It is a great method for making oneself unhappy. To be present in the moment is to be in this moment. Teaching given in Warsaw over the 14th to 15th of December 2019. Edited by Barbara Terrace and James Lowe. From the book The Open Door of Emptiness by James Lowe. Lightly amended with the use of original recordings and the transcription, and read by Wendy. Full Moon, May 2025.